Thank you for the fruit that your word will produce. Because we expect your word to produce fruit, God, because we are the results of your word. And we just thank you for all things. We ask you to bless us now as we speak your word. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he can do that, but we have to allow him. We have to let him. He will not force himself upon us. He's not like the devil. He won't make you. You have to invite him, and when you invite him, he will come. We are yet in the resurrection season of our Lord and Savior. So if you will, let me talk to you for a few minutes before I get into my message about some of the events that happened before the crucifixion and the resurrection. One of the most prominent events, or one that we readily think of when we think of the resurrection, is the betrayal of a man by the name of Judas, whereby Judas betrayed our Lord and Savior. And I'm going to hit some toes here now, but just holler and don't count it to my head and not my heart. Everything you know about somebody, you don't have to tell it. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do when he got up from the table. But he didn't tell the rest of them what he was going to do. Judas went and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people that are real intelligent and real smart will hold that against Jesus. But I'm going to let them do that. I'm not, because I know some things about you. You know some things about me. Yeah. Don't tell it. Because another one of my sins is that everybody don't need to know everything about everybody. Right. You just need to know everything about yourself and Jesus Christ. Let the rest of us slide. Then there was Peter in his denials of Jesus Christ, who, as they were walking along one day, Jesus asked him, so who am I? He said, thou art the Son of God. But yet he denied that he ever knew anything about him. He denied him and wouldn't admit that he knew him. Thought he was getting away. Then I'm thinking about it. Everybody else been talking about it, so I'll mention it too. Been talking about it in Sunday school. Do you love me? Mm-hmm. See, love is just like anything else. It got to grow. Mm-hmm. Got to be planted. I'm thinking about it. I said, I thought about Peter when he asked him three times, do you love me? And every time he said yes. And then he went on and laid down his life for him. But if you take him and hold him where he was, when he denied him, he got mad. And they kept questioning him. He went out and started cussing.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't cursing. He was cussing.
I know.
And then there was old man Pops, who made the decision that he was going to wash his hands of him. He couldn't find anything wrong with him. But he said, I wash my hands. Y'all can do what you want with him. Then there's what Jesus did for me when I wasn't even there. But he looked down through the span of time and saw that he had to suffer and go through something. And he had to die in my stead. He died for all of those of us that are sinners. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe it, look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God commanded his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. this all, I'm trying to get a reflection to you so you can go back and look at the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Christ is the best example of love that you can find anywhere, because he loved us enough to come down from glory and die for our sins. The gospel also talks to us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know I haven't even given you my subject yet, but you will get it in just a minute. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. If you go back and remember the scripture that was read to you, verse 3 and 4 said, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to scripture. The scripture tells us that we needed somebody to go our bond. We were indebted to God. And our sins need to have been paid for. And the bullocks and the doves and all of that was not sufficient. He was going to take the pure blood of the Lord's Son. And the gospel also tells us that he died and they buried him and he rose again. Didn't stay dead. He had to get up, had to conquer death. So brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you, and I just got 3 points, that there are some guarantees in Christ's resurrection. Guarantee number one, there's a guarantee of our Savior, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And declare to be the Son of God with power, according to Scripture, by the resurrection of the dead. Christ is our Lord and Savior simply because he died and he was resurrected. He didn't stay dead. And I say that because all other people that have been born since the time of Adam and Eve that have died, they are still dead, except one, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. All of the people that were born, that were conquerors and rulers, are all dead. They are not alive today. They are dead because they themselves was conquerors. But something come along, help the Holy Ghost, that they themselves could not conquer. And that was something called death. Death come along, and all the conquerors and all the kings that have been in this world except King Jesus, they died and they are still dead today. They are not alive because their time have expired and they have not conquered death. Oh, but this man called Jesus, help the Holy Ghost. He conquered death, and he did it for me and for you. All of the wise people, Aristotle and Philo and all those other people that are real intelligent, and you too, if you're real intelligent, one of these days, if you're not already dead, you're going to die unless Jesus come back first. So there's one thing that we have not conquered ourselves, and that's death. Even your great religious leaders, Martin Luther, Dr. King, all of those other great religious people, conquerors, they are all dead. Paul, Peter, James, and John, they are all dead. They could not conquer death. And I know some of you are ahead of me and you're thinking, but I'm gonna get to where you are after a while. But all of those people, they died because their time on this earth had expired. And they had to leave him. All of them died. Samson, as strong as he was, could not defeat death. Took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 men. But he himself could not conquer death. This is why, brothers and sisters, we need to know about the resurrection. Solomon, as wise as he was, could not figure out how to get around death. We have the guarantee that Jesus Christ is our Savior because he conquered death. All of these other famous people that lived a long time, one of the wisest people that ever lived, could not figure out how to conquer death. Solomon was so wise that this lady came all the way from her country to try to find out how wise he was. And I don't know whether this is in the Bible or not, but I read it somewhere. I don't think it's in the Bible. I think it's in a book entitled Solomon and She, or She and Solomon, that she came and she had a question. She asked him. She had some flowers that looked like these, real beautiful. She had one that was real and one that was a fake. Every other question she asked Solomon, he readily answered her. It was getting late in the evening, and she had to go. She said, well, this is my final question. She had him to uncover those two flowers and said, look at them, Solomon, and tell me which one is real and which one is a fake. The story says King Solomon got up from his seat, went over to the window, and let the window up. And then just come back and took his seat and just looked. And said, in come the window, in come a bee. And the bee went and landed on the real plant. So she said, well, when you gonna tell me which one it is? He said, in due time. The bee stayed on that flower. But like I'm here pausing now and y'all wondering what I'm gonna say next. And Solomon just stayed in the seat and watched him. Then the bee flew up and went to the other plant. And all of a sudden, the bee got up, flew back out the window, and come back in. And when he come back in, he brought others with him. And he went to the last plant that he was on. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, which one is it? He said, the one that the bee is on. So how do you know that that's him? He said, because the bee can't get something from the artificial plant that God didn't put in the plant. So you see, as wise as Solomon was, after he got age, when old man death knocked on his door, he couldn't figure out a way to make death go away from him. So no matter how wise you are, death is going to come your way. And then there was a man by the name of Methuselah. Lived longer than anybody else that was around him when he was alive. They felt like he might have conquered death, but he lived, and then the Bible says he died. Yes, sir. 969 years he lived on this earth, but then he died. He had not figured out a way to conquer death. But then again, I got to tell you about one that conquered death. There was this little Jew boy born in a town, Bethlehem, of the seed of David, in the house of Joseph. His mother was named Mary. He conquered death because he is the Son of God. And these are the signs that he's God, that he's Lord God Almighty as he was walking around down here on earth. If you look at John chapter 2, verse 18 through 22, it'll tell you that he told them, said, you can destroy this temple. Yes, sir. But in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Mm-hmm. All those wise people standing around said, well, how can you do that? Said, this temple took 46 years for us to erect it. Jesus, in the book of John, if you read John and you study John, you'll find that Jesus, when he was teaching above the head of the people that he was teaching. He told them, if you tear this temple down, in 3 days I'll raise it up. They were thinking about a physical temple. Jesus was talking about his body as the temple of God. He said, said, if you tear it down, if you destroy this one in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. And then he tested their history. He told them, said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days and three nights. This is how we know that he's Lord God Almighty. He stayed, he did what he said, and he said what he did. He was the Lord God Almighty. We have proof that he is our Savior, that he stayed in there just like he said he would. But he didn't stay too long. On the third day morning, he rose and walked out with all power in his hand. Lord, y'all, we got a guarantee that he's our Savior. One of the infallible proofs that he's resurrected. The tomb where they laid him is empty, y'all. If the tomb is empty and nobody stole the body, he had to be raised up. And if somebody would have taken him out, they would have had to cut the material that was on him. But the Bible says it was laying right there, just like he was in it. So he had to come through it and not disturb it. So you see, this proves to me that he is Lord God Almighty. And listen, and then if you look at John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, he said, this is my life. I lay it down and I can come back and pick it up. If I put it down, I know where I left it. I can go back and pick it up. I went to a meeting last Monday down in Macedonia and Argyle. This is my preaching notebook. When I walked off and left it, I remember where I left it, and it was mine, and I went back and picked it up because it was mine. That's what Jesus did. He laid his life down, but then when it got time, he came back and he picked it up, because all power is in his hand. Life and death is in the power of Jesus Christ. He rose, y'all. He's not dead, and he's my Savior, and he gave me this guarantee. Guarantee number two comes from the guarantee of our salvation. There's a lot of this is found in verses 17 through 20. Listen, y'all, excuse me, let me find my notes here where I am. The guarantee of our salvation. Some people call these the fearful ifs. Says some of the churches, especially the church at Corinth, was denying the resurrection. He said, if Christ be not resurrected, then you are yet in your sins. I stop by to tell you just in one nutshell, if Jesus be not resurrected, you on your way to hell. If you believe that he was resurrected and he's not resurrected, that's what he's telling them. If he's not resurrected, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And sin is death, where you will be separated away from God. Every terminal illness, all right, you'll have it all the time. If he be not resurrected, don't let people tell you that because you are going through, he's not resurrected. That's why I know he is, because I'm going through. I'm not staying in it. I'm going through. I'm not staying in sickness. I'm going through. Because he was resurrected, and I know that he was resurrected, I believe it and I'm trusting it, because he's not dead. He's yet alive. We have to believe this resurrection, and we have to know that we know that we know that we know that he was resurrected and he's not dead. Amen. If he was still in the tomb, don't you one time think the devil wouldn't have a tour route to see the body of Jesus Christ? Yes. He would have one. Don't know where it would be, but he would have one. But because he's not there, he is resurrected, y'all,
And we need to know that. And this is the guarantee of our salvation. We would be guilty all of our life on this side and the other side. All the sins that you think you have been forgiven for, if Christ be not risen, you still are guilty of those sins. But because he's risen, you are not. And we have to know that. Those that died in the Lord, those that sleep in him, they're going to perish.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, as harsh as it may sound, your sin would still be to your account. You would have to pay for your sin. If Christ be not risen, the songs that you sung this morning, the prayers that you prayed this morning, the blessings of the food that you ate this morning, would all be in vain.
Yes.
If Christ be not risen. Then my question to you is that you don't need to answer me. Is he risen or is he still in the grave? Most of us, if not all of us, would shout, he is risen, because we want the things that our sin to be forgiven. We want to know that I have hope that I'm going to spend eternity with him. There's some guarantees of this resurrection, and we need to grasp hold to them. You don't need to walk around with your head hung down. Get your head up and look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Because the better day is coming. This world is not my home. I'm just a stranger traveling through. Don't expect to stay here forever. Probably won't live as long as Methuselah. But I'm going to live out my time. And while I'm living out my time, I am constantly believing in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. I'm believing in that because I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on his return. I'm waiting on his return. If I'm dead and buried in my grave, and you still are alive, I got one thing on you. I'll be there before you do.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. I'm believing in the resurrection. You said, well, Baggett, are you willing and ready to die? Or are you willing to take a bullet for somebody else if it's in defending of Jesus the Christ? When it comes my time, I can't prolong it. We can do everything we want. But when it comes your time to answer the call.
Well,
Jesus, you got an appointment to be made. I think it's Hebrews 9:27. Says it's appointed unto man once to die. And then after death comes the judgment.
Yeah.
Don't know when and don't know where. But when my day to die come, I want Jesus to come and get me. Because they tell me that there's one difference in the individual going into heaven than in all the saints going at the same time. They say when you go by yourself, you got Jesus all to yourself. Don't have to share with nobody else. He comes to get you, just you by yourself. That's why it says, happy is the time when a child of God goes home to be with the Lord. You got him all to yourself. There is a guarantee that salvation is ours because we believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. Nothing you can do can stop Jesus from being God. All we got to do is accept him as being God. But you got a choice whether you receive him for yourself. Mama can't receive him for you. Tiny can't receive him for you. You got to receive him for yourself. There's some things a lot of people can do for you, but that's one thing you got to do for yourself.
Yes.
Christ is risen from the dead, and all the negative things that we've said, if not, they're positive things because Christ is risen from the dead. How you know, Baggy? Because the song says, and I know it for myself, said he lives down in my soul. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Don't know what it holds, but I can face tomorrow because he lives. Point number three, there's a guarantee of our similar resurrection. Don't that make you feel good to know that what Jesus did, you'll be able to do the same thing. But let me help you out a little bit here. You got to do something while you're here. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. What you need to do is receive him as Lord and Savior. Let him be master of your life. Give your life over to him. What does that mean? That I live my life every day just like it's my last day and he's coming by to get me. But I got to live. I can't go get in a cocoon and hide myself. I can't become a hermit. I can't shut myself up in my house and don't go out no more. I got to get out and I got to tell somebody about this God and what he's done for me. Listen to me. Listen to me. There is no greater way of proving that Christ is risen from the dead than by us actually showing it in our lives. You have to show that Christ has risen in your life. Yes, he's not in the grave in whose was it? Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He's not in there. He rose. But my question to you is, did he rise within your soul? Has he arisen within you? Have your life changed since he rose? Peter, before the resurrection, we told you he got mad and he went out and started cussing. Oh, when they got ready to kill him, he asked him, said, please don't crucify me like you crucified Jesus. And to me, he said that because he knew that he was unworthy. Said, crucify me some other kind of way. It's not like this. And say, Peter said, don't nail me on the cross. Say, he said, nail me upside down to show that I'm different from Jesus. I'm not the Christ. I don't deserve to be done like he did. I deserve something else. So they crucified him upside down. He placed a value in the way that Jesus had been resurrected. See, but because before the resurrection, there's something that had not happened to Peter. He had not been able to live and walk in the Holy Ghost. Let the Lord order your steps wherever you go and whatever you do. Peter was a bad man before the Lord got into his heart. I believe that God got in his head. He knew in his head that he was the Son of God, but it hadn't gotten into his heart. See, sometimes we become intellectual Christians. We know everything that we ought to know about this God from our neck up. We don't know anything about him from our heart down. Because if you think I'm going to do something that's going to look like it's going to hurt me, then you're making a mistake. But when Christ get in your heart, he takes it all away. You forget about yourself and you think about somebody else. Christ didn't die on the cross for himself. He died for you and for me so we would have a right to the tree of life. So what are you telling me, Baggett? You got to be thinking about somebody else. Listen to me. Don't y'all think I think I'm better than you, but listen to me. I've said this before. If you want to give me, really give me something for an appreciation, give soul, get souls and bring them to God. I'll give everything I got. If souls are saved, we need to tell people about this God that we serve. If you want to give me a good anniversary present, witness to somebody about this God that we serve and tell them what thus saith the Lord, that he's risen. He's not dead. He's alive. How I know he's alive? Because he's in my soul and he makes a difference in my life. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ, he's resurrected, brothers and sisters. He's alive. We need to show that in our lives, that he is alive. Jesus Christ became the first fruit of the resurrected from the dead. And you and I will be the same as he is if you receive him as Lord and Savior. You got to believe. You got to believe. And I'm through, but let me. I got a couple of stories down here I need to tell you. And one of them, you got to get out of your flesh and get in the spirit. There was a rich man who, him and his daughter, they lived in the coal area of the United States of America. He brought her south in the winter so she could go swimming, and they were down in Florida. Well, this winter wouldn't have been in the panhandle. It would have been farther south. But they were down there, and the water was a little cool. The little girl, his daughter, was about 5 or 6 years old, and she went down to the edge of the gulf and stuck her foot in. She said, "Dad, it's cold." She jumped back, and he stuck his head. He said, "It is kind of cool." He looked at the servant that he had with him, the butler. He said, he had 5 or 6 of them with him. He said, "Go up, back up to the motel, get a tub, fill it up with hot water, and bring it back down here to the gulf." They went and got 2 number 3 wash tubs, filled them up with hot water, and brought them back. He said, "Pour it right here." They poured the water right there while it was. He said, "Get in, baby." She got in. It was warm. She started swimming, then she forgot about how cold it was. Yeah. I know I lost you in that, didn't I? See, that child believed her daddy could do anything, could make it warm. Because he told him to pour that warm water in there, and she got in. She started swimming. Then she forgot about how cold it is. See, that's what God does for your sins. He takes your sin, and he washes them in the blood of Jesus the Christ. And you forget about all of your sin. If your sin were to come up now, right, the race with death. There was a young sprinter who was the fastest person alive. I thought about when I was doing this week, I thought about Houston McTeer. Racer. He was at a place, and an old man walked up to him. Said, "You think you're pretty fast, don't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll tell you what you do." He said, "2 years from now, meet me right back here at this same place, and I'll race you, and I'll beat you." He said, "Old man," said, "you're too old now. You'll be 2 years older then. You can't outrun me." He said, "Meet me back here 2 years from the day." He met him back there 2 years from the day, and they had a big crowd, and they started to race. They raced, and they raced, and they raced. The old man would let him stay in front of him, and Every now and then he'd come up real close to him. When he come up real close to him, the young man would speed up and he'd go away from him. Kept doing like that. All of a sudden, the old man just ran right past him. And when he ran right past him, the young man fell dead. Got you again. He was racing with death. You cannot outrun death. So we need to believe in someone who has already conquered death. If you believe in the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God, who conquered death, when death passed me by, I can throw up both hands in my spirit and say, thank you, Lord. Someone said that at the blinking of an eye, when a Christian leaves this side, they're on the other side. It's goodbye on this side. It's hello and good morning on the other side. But you have to be a believer. You have to be believing in someone that have conquered death. And I know one person that have walked this earth that have conquered death. And that's Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. And with that, we'll extend an invitation. If you do not know this man called Jesus Christ, we extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.